You're listening to From the Midlands, the stories of people making a difference across the region. Our presenter is Gail Downey.
On this episode of From the Midlands, we'll be hearing from a Warwickshire woman who took the idea of Lego is life and ran with it to turn it into a business which encourages more youngsters into science and engineering, but with a twist. Meninda Kaur Laxman runs the Young Engineers Warwick franchise, and she joins us now. Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So Lego is life. What do you mean by that?
I just think Lego is accessible to everyone, young and old. I think it's a great medium, it's tactile, it's multi-sensory, and I think I very, very rarely find anyone that doesn't enjoy interacting with it.
And you run the Young Engineers Warwick franchise, which is part of a much bigger group. So what do you do?
So Young Engineers provide workshops and after-school clubs and enrichment programs where we teach children mechanical engineering concepts and physics principles, all using our bespoke Lego kits. And we get children to develop a whole range of life skills alongside that.
And these are after-school clubs, holiday clubs that the children come along to. Do the children have to have an interest in science and engineering first, or does this encourage them to have an interest?
Not at all. They just need to come and just have an open mind as to being able to play with Lego. We've even had children where the parents love Lego and the child doesn't, but they don't realise how much they're learning. So we teach them certain concepts and principles, and then they build a model based on that to see the principle in action, and then we'll pose a problem with the model they've built. So all of our models are functional, however not fully. So it could be something as simplistic as a carousel, like a theme park ride, or it could be a vehicle they've made, but then we always say, how could you improve it? So we're trying to get those children to become problem solvers, use something and develop something new and be a bit more innovative. However, I will always get parents that will call me or drop me an email saying, on the way home, you know, my five-year-old daughter, I was driving around the roundabout and she was like, Mummy, that's centrifugal force because it's pushing me away from the centre. And that was something we covered in one of the sessions. But they start making those links and applying it to the world around them, which is really nice to see. And it's really nice to get that feedback because you're not sure how much of the theory they're actually getting in.
And you have it's not actual Lego, but it's Lego-like, isn't it? We just need to be clear about that. So it's Lego-like. So just talk me through some of the pieces and the colours and the kind of things you've already described, like a carousel that the children can actually build.
So our kits are a bespoke tray. So every piece of Lego has a slot, which really helps children just get grounded and they can easily identify where the pieces are. It takes them a session or two to figure out where all the pieces are. But just with this simple tray, as opposed to having boxes and boxes of different types of Lego, from one simple tray they can make over 300 or 400 different models that are part of our two-year program. They make a range of different models, and each week they build on the knowledge they've done, like from the previous weeks, and they get introduced to a new concept. They start developing their skills in terms of being able to be a bit more innovative and creative as well. So we have some children that can just look at the demo model and they're able to replicate it and improve it. We also have step-by-step instructions for the children if they need them, so they can follow it step-by-step and build something. But then we have other children that take the concept and they're like, oh, actually, miss, can I just make my own thing? But I'll include that mechanical component within there. And it's really great to see that it can be really flexible, because we teach in multi-age range classes. So we'll have five-year-olds working alongside 12-year-olds. And initially, the 12-year-olds are a bit put out. But the five-year-olds are so creative, and it's so nice to be able to facilitate the ideas they have in their head into realisation, because that's what it's all about.
And the Lego-like blocks that you have here, they're all different colours, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
And does that also help the children as well?
So I think the colours are just there just so it's easier to identify the different pieces. There's no real reasoning why certain blocks are red, certain are green or whatever. But I think it just kind of helps them identify when they start coming to sessions over the course of the term. It's this block that I need, which is the green one. The red ones are the ones that I use here, especially the pins and the connectors and a lot of the Lego Technic pieces that we have. Because a lot of the children, as much as they play with Lego, they don't always use a lot of the Lego Technic pieces and the motors. So it's nice for them to be able to have access to that and just be able to identify the pieces they need to use.
And when you talk about Technic pieces, what do you mean?
A lot of these pieces are Lego Technic pieces, so they don't come in the traditional Lego sets. They come from for some of the other kits where they have certain specific models. So I do get some children saying, oh, miss, that's from set number 53214. And as much as I love Lego, I'm just like, I have no idea what kit they're talking about.
So these are pins, cogs, wheels and all that kind of thing, which yeah. presumably help them make a machine if a machine is what's needed.
Yeah, that's right. So they'll even make prototypes of washing machines so they get to know how belt transmission works. Because I think when we were growing up, you know, if something broke down in the house, mum and dad would look in the yellow pages, they'd order a part from someone, we'd wait several weeks for it to arrive. And then on a Sunday, we'd all be there, it'd be a family project. My dad would open the washing machine, he'd ask for pieces to be passed to him, and, you know, we'd pass him the tools. And, you know, I've seen him, you know, put another belt on the washing machine. Whereas our culture now is it's so much more cheaper to replace the whole machine than it is to actually get the parts or call in a specialist to kind of fix and repair the machine, which is such a shame. And I know there's so many more repair cafes popping up everywhere, which is something you really want to encourage, because if the children know, oh, this is how you get the drum of the washing machine to spin, it's just nice that they would have the confidence to actually go ahead and start opening up the machine, you know, as they get older, or kind of encourage their grown-ups to do so as well.
And do you find that when some of the children come along, some have more of an aptitude for this than others?
Definitely. I think some of them just naturally take to it, like duck to water, or, you know, some of them kind of get that tunnel vision. They know what they want to get from the session and they kind of take an idea and run with it. There's others that need a lot more support. So we will kind of sit with them, encourage them, and kind of give them certain pointers and steps and markers for them to reach. So they all go away with having achieved a working model. You know, I think it's so important for their confidence and their self-esteem to have something that works. And, you know, one of our key takeaways every session is don't compare yourself to anybody else. You know, when you come to the session, don't worry about what someone else is building. Just focus on what you're building. Because everybody else, you know, it's all differentiation by outcome. So everyone's going to build something completely different, although the idea is the same. So everybody's making a theme park ride today. Everyone's going to have their own spin on it and take on it.
And you run this as an after-school club or holiday club. Do you think that schools are missing a trick by not using something like this?
Definitely. So I have worked with some schools where they've bought in my services and I've done a standalone workshop or a series of classes or a course over the course of the half term or full term, which has been great and the schools love it. But it all comes down to funding and time on the timetable. So there's a lot of links with the DT and science curriculum, which it kind of cross-references, which is a reason why they've been able to buy in my services. But I think for them to justify it long term has been a bit of an issue in terms of finances and funding. But an idea that I did have was almost like a leasing system, so the schools could lease the kits from me because they are owned by the franchise. And that was one way. The franchise is so flexible. They've been really supportive with all the ideas that I kind of have. And I'm like, it'd be great if we can get it into schools, or if we can get it into Scouts clubs or any other clubs that really want to, or the community groups that want to use it, even libraries. And they said the only way around it would be a leasing system, because you couldn't have 50 franchises within Coventry and Warwickshire pop up. So that's another idea that I'm trying to explore and kind of get set up, because it would be affordable and then they'd have me on hand to kind of top up any pieces that need replacing, giving them a fresh set of lesson plans to use over the next half term or term. So they're constantly getting that kind of refreshed lessons rather than it just being sat there. And I know firsthand as a teacher, we've previously bought Lego, you know, and we've tried to use it in our lessons, but it sits there in the store cupboard. No teacher has the time to actually go online to the portal, download the lesson plans, have a few minutes to go through it themselves before they deliver the session to the children. And as much as the idea is great, unless you've got somebody who's allocated that, it's really hard to find the time. So initially, when you first get a new product in schools, everyone's enthusiastic about it. But if a member of staff leaves, the training hasn't been passed on. So the way I've tried to do my leasing program is that anybody could just pick up the lesson plans and they could just go ahead with it and run with it. And everything's physical rather than being on screen. So most of our stuff was all digital, but I've just printed it all. And we've tried to use it in classes so the kids are away from screens, because they do too much on screens anyway.
When we introduced you, we talked about Lego is life with a twist. You're very keen on this emotional well-being. Give us a bit of background about that side of your life.
So I've been a teacher for 20 years and I've taught in loads of different settings, both internationally and in the UK. So I've been around a bit. I used to work in a lot of inner London city schools and pupil referral units, what they were called in those days. And they used to provide an alternative provision. I worked at a regional secure unit with children that had mental health issues, and particularly with adolescent boys, especially in a lot of inner London schools. We just found, I did one of my theses on the reasoning why a lot of adolescent boys are so disaffected from the curriculum and why they choose to go down a path of drugs and crime. And I think a lot of it is early intervention, is just trying to spark that interest with them. And so I'm really passionate about getting this into schools and getting this into alternative provisions, or maybe possibly setting up my own alternative provision and running something to kind of support that for the children. I just really like the fact that Lego is so accessible to everybody. So I've done this in residential care homes as well with the elderly, and it's been really nice for them to have access to this and do something tactile, because it does delay the onset of early dementia. It kind of gets them developing their motor and growth skills again as well, and it gives them a chance to connect with their grandchildren and, you know, great-grandchildren. I had one resident at the care home who was in tears because he was like, other than saying, hi, how are you and how's school, conversation ends after that and their great-grandchild is on a tablet or a screen and they're sat there talking to their children, which is nice. But this has been great to have like a multi-generational workshop or something everybody could access together.
And this is the twist that you've taken on this Lego is life to actually broaden it out into emotional well-being, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. So I recently completed a level 2 certificate in children and adolescent mental health. I think the effects of COVID, you know, the government initially thought it would be a 2-year thing, but I think it's prevalent. And I don't think it's just COVID. I just think young people's mental health is severely affected by social media, the lifestyle that we currently live. You know, I know growing up, I didn't have social media and I always had a parent at home. My parents used to work opposite shifts, so there was always someone at home to drop us to school. We always had a hot dinner when we came home. Whereas I think nowadays, the pressures and the cost of living, it means both parents have to work effectively full-time jobs. And I think the children miss that interaction, and I don't think it's any fault of the parents, but I just feel they don't get as much one-to-one time that they should have. And I've got 4 children on my own, and I know how difficult it is to give that and check in with each of your children. So I think having Lego and having a medium that you could all work through really helps, and it just helps build up their emotional intelligence. Really, there's loads of different things that they could do with this. So although they're doing predominantly a STEM related activity, it's all about developing resilience, being self-aware, learning how to regulate themselves. So I have got a Build for Purpose program that I've just written recently, and it focuses more on developing self-confidence, self-esteem, developing their own resilience, like I've said, mentioned already. I think that's such an important thing.
So do you find sometimes when some of the children come, they are building and making carousels or making washing machines or whatever it is that you've given them, but actually you notice that some of them are managing better than others?
Yes,
emotionally.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. We you know, I've had sessions where some children have just thrown the kits on the floor because they've got frustrated. You know, there's this whole culture of instant gratification as well, especially with social media and, you know, even simple things like the TV, even if children aren't on social media, and we've got young children in our sessions, because we do have sessions running from 5 all the way up to 15, and we've rolled it all the way up to 19-year-olds now. But, you know, they're so used to just being able to put whatever they want on TV, whereas our generation had to wait for adverts, or we had to wait for a certain time for a children's show to be actually presented on TV. So they're so used to that instant gratification. So as soon as they get frustrated with something, they either want to give up, or it's a case of, I can't do it. And it's changing their mindset. And it's taking it like, look, we'll take it one block at a time. We'll do it brick by brick, piece by piece. And if they build something and it's still not working, we're like, we just dismantle it. And they can apply that to their lives as well. It's step by step. We'll get there. It's not this isn't the end of the journey. It's not the finished product. And they can apply it to themselves. And it's so important because it builds their own confidence. And every session at the end, you know, I never get bored of that whole, I did it, miss, it works. And it's that whole excitement. You know, you have like 19-year-olds say that as well as 9-year-olds. You know, it is, everybody wants to feel that they've achieved something.
And you said before we started doing the recording that your mission was to help people. Do you feel this is really helping young people become young adults who are resilient, who are emotionally aware?
Definitely. I think this is definitely skills for life in general. I just think it's so important. That's the reason why I went into teaching, you know, many years ago. And I fell out of love of the profession purely because of all the changes that have happened in education. And I just felt my head and heart didn't align. And I think if my heart's not in something, I can't do it because I don't feel I'm doing it a good, you know, I'm not doing any service to it. So I left teaching because I was at that point where I thought, I can't do a good job because my heart doesn't believe in what I'm actually delivering and teaching. Whereas now I'm so passionate about what I do, I want it to be in every school. So I just think it adds so much value to their education, which is great, and in their understanding of the world around them and how things work, but also just their emotional intelligence and well-being. Social and emotional learning is so important. And although they're working standalone with their own kits, there's a whole element of collaboration, because if they're building something and they need a piece that's not within their kit, they're going to have to start bartering with somebody else, because it's that whole, I'll give you this block, but can I trade it for that gear because I want to add this to mine? Because, you know, what, that's one of our key things within our sessions. You're limited to the pieces you have in your kits. And so it forces them to think outside the box rather than just use the same piece and build a really tall tower. It's like, how else can you make it taller? How else could you make a bridge, or all the alternative things you could do?
Do you think something like this will encourage more girls to go into science and technology? What's your take on that?
Definitely. I've ran lots of girls-only sessions as well, and certain schools and community groups have also brought in my services to run workshops to try and promote girls into it. And it's really interesting because when I've run classes, most of my classes are very boy-heavy. They just naturally are. And the girls within there sometimes shy off the first few sessions. So obviously a term runs over 12 weeks. But come the third or fourth session, they really come into their own. And it's really nice to see that confidence. And then it's almost like they're challenging some of the boys within there. But then within the girl-only sessions, it's a very different atmosphere because they're all very supportive of each other and they naturally encourage each other to do more. So I do need to probably, that's one of my things to do, run separate standalone girl-only sessions, because I do find that it's literally from the first session, they're a lot more creative and take more risks. Whereas initially, when they're in a mixed class, the first few sessions, they tend to be a bit more risk adverse, and then they slowly come into their own.
What's your end goal?
I don't know. I just want to see this in every school. I want every child to have access to this. I just think it's so important for them to be able to work with their hands, be creative, develop their confidence and resilience, learn how to problem solve, and also be in a safe environment where they can make mistakes. You know, there's so many children that come in and they're so scared when something doesn't work. And it's just like, it's absolutely fine, don't worry. And they're just, it's this whole culture that we've created. They have to get 10 out of 10 in their spellings, or 20 out of 20 in their maths. And I don't think the school create that culture, nor do the parents, but it's almost like a societal expectation. And children put pressure on themselves as well. You know, I know myself, my eldest daughter, she puts a lot of pressure on herself because she's very academic and she feels she must always be top set for everything and she must also get the highest grade. And they put all these pressures on themselves. So when something doesn't work, it's almost a shock to them. And then they're really surprised when I'm like, it's absolutely fine, don't worry. This is what you're here for. You learn from your mistakes. So can you tell me where the mistake is? And it's flipping it so they identify where the mistake is. And then it's kind of drawing out the information from them, how they can fix it. And then, it just develops their whole like confidence because they're just so surprised that, oh, actually, yeah, I know that's a mistake. Oh, now I know how I can fix it, as opposed to giving up, which they probably previously would have done.
Meninda Kaur Laxman from Young Engineers Warwick, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to From the Midlands, a Whirlwind production. If you've enjoyed listening and would like to sponsor this series of podcasts, details are available on our website at fromthemidlands.co.uk.